And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I'm down to dunk.
And I'm down to dunk. I'm down to dunk. This is J-Dub and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lindy Waters and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala and I'm down to dunk.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Kenneth Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to dunk.
Will you say this is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort?
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Mondays, my good friend, Michele Bear. Michele, what's up?
Well, we had the most terrible game of the season and one very fun game over the past week against the Rockets, which is exactly what we expected. And
they had to keep us humble, right? They had to keep us a little humble on that Wednesday night game. Sheesh.
Yeah, it was just, I was so mad. I said it to John. We were recording Thunder After Dark the next morning. I said,
yeah.
Why on the road? Can they have a good game on the road against the Rockets? It feels like ages since we played well there.
It's awful, awful. And then Saturday night hits, and you know, going into the game, they've lost four in a row to the Rockets, and so you just can't be feeling great. Like there can't just be great feelings going into that game. And then within maybe 7 seconds of it, you were just like, oh, okay. Okay. Shea was on a mission. Like, he was not going to let that happen again. And the rest of the team just jumped in line with him, and they just killed the Rockets. I mean, that game was over so fast. And the Thunder, Mark described them as bloodthirsty throughout the rest of the game. And there was obviously, like, some weird animosity kind of going back and forth between the teams. There was just this moment. I think it was right before the end of the second quarter where Giddey had the goaltend that was then reversed. Mm-hmm. And Giddey's walking back with Shea, and they're kind of like strutting after this call was like reversed. And they passed Jalen Green, and I don't know what was said, but Josh gives him like this like kind of sarcastic thumbs up to him, like, all right, man, cool, you know. And it was just a weird, it was just a funny moment. Like, it happened right in front of me, and I was just like, oh man, like that was just kind of something that I really enjoyed it. And from there I was just like, holy smokes, like this Shea Giddey pairing is like starting to really, really work. And
oh yeah,
one thing that I dove into was just the two-man lineups of just those two. Have you looked at these numbers yet?
Not yet.
This is very interesting to me. I debated whether to put this on Twitter or not before the show, and I decided to save it for the show because it was just that interesting to me. So from the beginning of the season to December 1st or December 15th, the two-man pairing of Shea and Giddey was a minus.
Make me guess. Guess.
Guess what they are between the beginning of the season, December 15th.
That I checked a long time ago. Let me see if I remember. I think it's a double-digit negative.
It's like close.
Minus 11 or something.
Minus 9.7. And okay. It's in 23. That's 23 games.
Yeah.
And that was at the point where we're a little bit like, okay, not going great, but
nope.
we still have hope. There's still time. There's still, this is where we use like the qualifiers of they're still young. And I thought it was interesting after the game, because we were talking to Mark after the game, and he said like he doesn't let the team use the excuse of being young. Like he just doesn't, he doesn't like it. He doesn't use it. Which I just think is interesting. Okay, now, from December 15th to today, February 6th, what do you think they are in net rating?
Plus 7.5.
You're so close. Plus 8.4.
Okay.
Just a dramatic turnaround. Yeah. And they're like, since December 1st, or since January 1st, sorry, since the turn of the new year, they're like a plus 14.
Yeah, yeah. Lately, it has skyrocketed, but
yeah.
A lot of it is starting units actually playing good basketball. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to add. I mean, you can correlate that, but you cannot say that not having Poku or JRE in the starting unit is causing this. This jump in efficiency.
Yeah.
But you can clearly see that from December on, the efficiency of the starting units is very different. This team is not playing from behind most of the nights.
Mm-hmm.
And Shai and Giddy, on top of the numbers that you just laid out, it's, you can clearly see that they are searching each other on the court.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Shai looking just for Isaiah Joe. Is Shai surveying where Giddy is? Is Giddy trying to find Shai on cuts, which is something that I think Shai can improve so much. Not improving, using so much more than what he can do. Imagine when this team has a legit floor spacer like Muscala on good nights, but every night, where Shai has actually room to operate in space without the ball. I mean, Giddy will find him. And there were moments where you can clearly see the Rockets not being 100% defensively. Shai can kill them.
Yeah.
And it was working. But yeah, those numbers are starking. Like, this is clearly different. This team has turned a page. I'm not sure if this is sustainable when you will play lesser shooters or guys that need development, because Poku and JRE are very young in their NBA careers.
Mm-hmm.
They will make mistakes. They will need to learn. So I don't know how much it will drop when JRE or Poku will be back. But
I mean, to look at the on-offs, it is you don't want to like blame everything on those two guys. But Jeremiah is a minus 7.3 on-off. Poku's a minus 19 on-off.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it is not all Poku's fault or Jeremiah's fault. Like, they just played poorly. Like, one, like, your fifth starter is not going to just shift everything for you that much. You know, it's not going to shift the Giddy and Shai pairing, like, 18 points. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's not how this works. But it's not nothing. And so, as Jeremiah's getting ready to come back, and Poku, I don't think, is getting ready to come back. But it is just something to watch for as these guys return to the lineup. Like, what happens here? And also, like, you also have Lu Dort, who's out. Who, you know, he and Shai were a positive, like, barely positive, even during that bad stretch of the year. And so, like, he's been a helpful player to this team. And so you just wonder, you know, with it, now you have him out, like, there's just a lot of different
things
at play.
I explain it to myself in the following way. First, Giddy started off the season on a rough efficiency path. Like, he was not good. If you sum this up with not having elite shooters around, like Poku or JRE, then you can guess why lineups like that were not working.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, early in the season, I don't know if you can pull this up quickly, but the three-man units with Shai, J-Dub, and Giddy were terrible to start the year. I expect those to be better now, because also J-Dub is improving quite a lot. Yeah. So I don't expect those units to be the same, even if you play the same guys, because those players, Giddy and J-Dub, improved quite a lot during this ban.
Yeah, I think that's an important note too. J-Dub, even against the Rockets, like, he didn't score a whole lot, but he had 7 assists. And like, yeah, that, he just, to me, he just played such a patient brand of basketball the whole night. And I enjoyed watching him. It's funny, I was asking Shay about J-Dub, and he's like giving like this kind of blah answer about how, like, at the end of the day, like, J-Dub, just a basketball player, he knows how to play, yada yada yada, he's just talking. And then J-Dub, like, pops his head in to the media room, and he just starts saying, like, this is an all-star starter here. He's just an all-star starter. I'm sure you guys have seen the clip. I put it up on my Twitter feed if you haven't seen it yet. Anyways, it's just funny. Like, they have genuine chemistry on the court and off the court as well. And they have, obviously, they have their little thing on Instagram going too, where Shay posts this, like, kind of cryptic, mostly cryptic Instagram captions, and then J-Dub hilariously explains them to us in just a purred happily kind of way. Let me find that trio. Shay, Dort, and Giddy through that first portion that I'm talking about, through the beginning of the season to the 15th, were a -4. Mm-hmm. Shay, Dort, J-Dub were a -7. And then Shay, Giddy, J-Dub, -8.4.
Yeah.
Bad. Like, that's bad. Like, you're gonna lose because of this.
Yeah.
And then from December 15th to today, which, if you go, so, like, right now there's a bunch of, like, Thunder stats floating around about, like, January 1st mm-hmm. through today. Those numbers are great. They're just through the roof. But I just need a little bit more. Like, can I just have a little bit more? Like, give me those extra 15 days, please. Yeah. Because it just gives you a better taste of, like, what this team really is. Because I do think that there was a point where they did turn a corner as a team in the middle of December. And, you know, some of the numbers have been way inflated. Like, that Rockets game inflates things quite a bit. The Celtics game both of those, obviously, number one and number two scoring games in the history of the Thunder, with 153 and 150. Those games are going to skew things a little bit. So, like, you want to add a little bit more context around those two. So anyway, that's partly why I'm doing this. Okay, so since December 15th, the trio, who were -8, are a +5, which is good. Like, that's quite good. And then the Shay, Giddy, Dort trio, +7.8.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you get Giddy with the two Williamses, what do you think that is? I'll quiz you from now on. Sorry, I forgot to quiz you.
No, that's fine. I was guessing those
Giddy
numbers
with
exactly.
Kenrich and J-Dub.
Oh, I thought the other Williams said, oh, I have no idea. Or J Will.
This is why I hate that they drafted two guys with the same name, because in here, I am like legitimately annoyed right now, because there's no
I
way
can tell.
There's no way to figure out who it is. You can't click. There's no hyperlink.
Wow.
And
so we'll
and get
know.
This and get this. Get this. Get this. This is so dumb. Kenrich, J, it says K Williams, J Giddy, J Williams. And then, oh, wait a minute. Nope. Never mind. I'm not as annoyed. No, I am as annoyed. You can't tell the difference between the two on here.
Okay. So we'll just pretend to.
Anyways,
to see
Giddy
from the
with.
Minutes.
I think this is J Dub, though. Yeah. Giddy and J Dub and Kenrich Williams. What do you think they are?
From or before?
Hmm?
From December the 15th or
from the
before?
15th until now, yeah.
I would
Since
guess
the Thunder have been good.
5.7.
Plus 13.7 as a trio.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. That's different.
Yeah, that's different. What about Shea, Muscala, and J-Dub?
I have no idea.
In 165 minutes. Just give me a number. Not,
plus 9.7.
Plus 22.3.
Okay. Put Isaiah Joe in there and tell me instead of J-Dub. Like Shea, Mike, and yeah, Isaiah Joe.
I have it. I have it ready. 144 minutes.
I think it's last plus 18 or something like that.
Only a plus 7.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
So this is where your imagination and your biggest Thunder desires can go a little crazy when you have the three-man pairing of Shea, Jalen Williams, and Mike Muscala. Because, you know, Mike Muscala, God bless his soul, is a little limited on the court. You know, he's played well.
Yeah.
He's a floor spacer. This is the thing, the great thing about Mike. He knows his job and he does it well. Right?
Yeah.
They're a plus 22 in 19 games played together.
With him not being impactful defensively almost at all.
With him just like being a mediocre to bad drop coverage big. You know? That is really something. Like that is really something. And that's where the imagination comes into play, because like just put Chet in there. Why don't you just put Shea, Chet, and J-Dub together as a trio? I just can't imagine it failing, or I don't know that it's obviously not going to be like a plus 22 through a giant span of the season. And if it is, like, watch out, the Thunder are going to win 65 games next year. Like, I don't think that's going to happen, but like you can see like the potential there. Also, I don't know why I hadn't asked this yet, but I was in the locker room Saturday night and I just asked Mike about his Mario tattoo. I don't know. Has somebody done a story on the Mario tattoo? I don't know that it's been done since he's been in Oklahoma City.
No,
we talked about the Mario tattoo for a little while. And so I just asked him, tell me the story of your Mario tattoo. And so, obviously, it's the Mario character from Mario 3. Did you play Mario 3? Did you play Mario?
No, I was not a Nintendo guy.
What were you?
Not a video game guy.
You really weren't video game guy at all?
No, not at all. I had the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
I was mostly into... cars, like GT and stuff like that.
Man, okay. Well, anyways, for all you Mario lovers,
my parents hated video games.
Really?
So
really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So,
Mike said that he had just such fond memories of playing Mario 3 on the original Nintendo at his dad's house. Mm-hmm. It's one of his favorite games. So we talked about Mario 3 for a little while. Just talked about video games for a little while. He doesn't play video games now, really, but still has very fond memories of Mario 3. Thinks it's one of the best games ever. So he got it tattooed on his shoulder. It's awesome. We ended up, I don't remember how we got to talk. We started talking about the way, like how my kids play video games. We were all just cracking up about stuff. But anyways, Mike, he's been very helpful to this team. And I think I just imagine sliding a guy like Chet in there. Now it's going to require Chet to be like a real floor spacer, because that's where that's the value, is that teams will sell out to contest Mike Muscala. You know, teams will sell out to contest Isaiah Joe, because like those guys can actually shoot. If Chet can prove pretty early that he can actually shoot, like watch out.
That's Do you have questions about it?
I don't, but I don't know what other teams think about him.
No, it was a legit question. I have many questions about Chet. Well, not many. One, can he stay on the court for real? That is something that until we see it, I mean, there is no reason why we should be worried right now.
Yeah.
Well, not too worried. But this is a legit question.
I mean, there are reasons why we should be worried.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
He hasn't played one game yet, but.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he didn't play. Foot injury. All the things that we knew were discussed before the draft. Mm-hmm. Can he stay on the court? Can he stay on the court for long? But a guy that makes 20 or 19, I don't remember, consecutive free throws, no matter what's the competition.
Dude, I forgot about that.
And a guy who can basically hit a shot blind from anywhere is a guy that will shoot the basketball. I have very little doubt. If it's not the three early, it will be a 20-foot jumper.
Yeah.
And it will be deadly. I really don't have doubts on Chet's ability to be a floor spacer. I have other doubts, like can he sustain a contact in transition when a guy runs through him? Mm-hmm. And they will do it. They will put their body. I mean, Kenny Lofton Jr. put his body onto him multiple times. And I don't worry so much about the effectiveness and defense, whereas I'm worried about the wear and tear that this will cause to his body, because he's clearly a guy that will be physical. So all this stuff I have doubts, because you'll be on one hand foolish to be, I mean, just miserable because of this, but you also, it's foolish to not consider this as a real risk. But the shooting, again, he may prove us all wrong and shoot like 25% from three in his first season. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if that were the case. I think he's going to shoot it well. So, and you know, he's had so much. This is where like there are like these. It's not like it would be way more beneficial for him to play. It's like I don't ever want to pretend like it's. Oh, it's so beneficial that he's sitting out. It's not. but there are benefits to him still being in the program. Like, so it's not like a completely wasted year. Like, he gets to watch every game. He gets to be in the film room. He gets to talk to the coaches. He gets to figure out, without actually stepping foot on the court with them, like, gets to figure out where he fits in and can, like, mentally be prepared for that and mentally be prepared for what's to happen. So, and he's going to, and I said earlier that, like, Mike knows his role. Mike plays his role well. It's true. And that's part of why that number is like so inflated. We don't quite know what Chet's role is going to be. And they might have to change the way they play a little bit for him. And that could cause some growing pains. So
yeah,
it's not a like straight guarantee, but you can just see like at their apex with that particular trio of Shea, J-Dub, Chet. It's like, oh my gosh. And this was on Point of Contention is a show we have on the Athletic NBA show. And it's Marcus Thompson, like legendary Warriors writer, and Zach Harper. They had just, Marcus had just watched the Thunder play the Rockets. And he was like, man, I think he said, not now, but eventually, like this Thunder team is built for the playoffs. Like with the amount of guys that can handle the ball and go get their own and, you know, make the offense churn. He's like, this team is going to be built for the playoffs. And I don't disagree. I think that with Shea and with J-Dub and Chet and Giddy and all those guys that, you know, there's a lot cooking in Oklahoma City with this team. And they're good now, you know. That's the other thing is like they're good now. Like you can pull out those stats where they're number one in net rating since January 1st. This team is pretty good now. I would not be shocked to see some kind of regression happen between now and, you know, mid March. Like it wouldn't shock me if they regressed, not maybe quite as bad as they were at the beginning of the season to December 15th, but somewhere in the middle is where I'd expect them to land, which is still like a decent team.
Yeah, it's slightly negative in net rating kind of thing. It's not like a 20-win team. Let's not pretend this was a horrible team to begin with. And another thing that I want to say as a positive spin, they're not playing like a 9-man rotation.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that they are playing just lineups that make sense for the night or to necessarily being, okay, this is the lineups that work works against the Rockets. Let's kill them with this because it's clearly working. No, they are not doing that. They are doing that in part when they feel like the game is slipping through their hands.
Yeah.
Then they will do it. But Mark is still using a huge chunk of time to develop guys like Jay Will, which I want to talk about him. Like
we should talk about him, man. We really should.
He's fun. I don't know how good he will be in general, but the fact that he can put his body and just throw a charge and on the other side of the court, just taking the three and being so excited about that. And the fact that he has some finesse move as well. Like he's not just a raw defender. The shooting touch is not great. You can see that the shooting motion is not there yet. But the fact that he has some craftiness to him where he can hit the reverse layup or just doing an up and under and being at the basket or just like being physical enough, running the transition, doing these stuff, I did not expect him to be this okay. I don't want to say good, but this okay this soon.
Yeah.
I said, okay, this year he will be just a tragedy and he will be sent to the G League and will not be able to compete really for an NBA spot. I would not be surprised if in the future he and JRE will actually fight for minutes because he's been okay to good against normal NBA competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think they'll fight for it now. You know, I think he's played well enough.
Future meaning from tomorrow.
Yeah,
that is the future.
Yeah, I think they're gonna fight for it, man. He's played well above what I expected him to do. He looked very lost to start the season and looked just very not ready. And like it's fine. He's a second round pick. It's gonna take him a minute to get his legs, and he has started to figure it out. Some of it is, does it all look and feel this good when the shots stop falling?
Yeah, that's because a good point.
That is going to happen. Like, it looks awesome right now with the shot falling. There will be a game, there will be a stretch, there will be time where the shot does not fall. And is he able to be as impactful? Does he bring the same energy? Is all of that still working whenever he isn't playing well or he's not shooting the ball well? Like, can he still play well despite the shot not falling? And, like, that's a big question for him that you can tell when that three goes down or when he's finishing that his energy just like tick, 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 tick. Like, can he, can he start here and stay there without making shots? That's why like a guy like Draymond Green is just like such a rare player because like he doesn't need to score or need to do anything without, you know, to have energy. It's just always there for him. And like, I just wonder about Jay Will. Not that he's like provided poor energy when he's not scoring. Like, I don't think that's the case, but right now he's just kind of on one. And I think he knows it and he's playing really well. I just want to see him like on a night where he goes 0-for-6, like is he bringing the impact, you know?
Yeah. I'm not sure he will shoot 6 threes or 6 shots if he misses the first 4. But anyway, I want to say something, another thing about Jay Will, which I really loved. And I mean, Şengün cooked him in Houston multiple times.
Yeah.
He was guarding him too close, allowing Şengün, which is a very good post-up player, to just fill him and beat him with a couple of moves. First possession, or one of the first possessions of the last game, he gives him a bit of distance. He doesn't stay too close to him so that Şengün has to move towards the basket and boom, charge. Mm-hmm. That's I don't know if it's by accident. I don't think so.
No.
Rarely things in the NBA happen by accident.
Yeah, that was
But this was, hey, good job, Jay Will. That's how you grow. Like, that's how you play two times the same guy. First time, he beats you. Great. Go back, look, study, and you will make him pay. And it was, I mean, Şengün was in his head for the entire game. He was just off. And it was a big part of why OKC was having, I mean, they would have won the game anyway. But the fact that Şengün was basically off after 5 minutes was a huge part of it.
Yeah, Şengün was not good in that game against the Thunder, which is great. It's just great to see him not do good.
Can I also say something very, I would say, unkind?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, the Rockets telecast. I stopped watching the game on Sunday after three quarters. Then I listened to After Dark, and you mentioned about coaching in the fourth, and I said, okay, Andrew, I'm listening. Okay, I will go back and watch the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I watched it with the Rockets telecast. And this guy, I don't know who he is. He's probably a good NBA player from the past. I didn't know. He's
Ryan
saying,
Hollins.
Oh, it's Ryan. Okay.
Yeah.
He was saying, our Usman, meaning Garuba, was beating their Usman. And he basically said it over and over and over and over.
He's terrible, man. He's not. He is one of the worst.
Yeah. And Usman Garuba is terrible.
He's terrible. He has no discernible
skill.
He
made threes.
He has no discernible skill. Usman Garuba.
Yeah. And he is twice the size that I remember him being. But anyway.
Yeah, he's very thick. There's so many things about Houston I don't understand. Like, they didn't play Garuba until like down the stretch. That's fine. The Dacian Nix thing, I just don't get it at all. Didn't get it from the start. Didn't get why. Like, he's a fun player because he's thick, and that's cool. That's fun. Yeah. You know,
we used to like thick. That is right now we are not mentioning them as much.
Not as much. I blame Luke, honestly. Like, we need him to get back on that train.
Yeah, I also blame the fact that every player for OKC is kind of not thick at all. So
true.
That's also
true.
Part of it.
Yep. Yeah, we need a thick daddy back in our lives.
Jairus Walker?
Jairus Walker, I would, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dejan Nix is so terrible, and I don't understand why you would even play him any minutes at all. Like, Ty Washington comes in, and Ty's like immediately contributing.
Yeah.
He's like,
good flow there. Nice looking shot.
Yeah.
Can move the ball. Not the playmaker that I want, but the playmaker. So.
But Dacian Nix isn't a playmaker either.
Nope.
So it's just like, what are we doing? Like, why are you even playing that guy? I don't understand why you'd even play him at all. Like, it makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. But that's the thing with this Houston team is there's so many things that don't make sense.
Yeah. It's like playing Theo Maledon when you have Josh Giddey behind. Well, not Josh Giddey. You have Trey Mann behind. Like, why are you doing this?
Right.
And not even Theo Maledon. It's it's like playing Ronnie Price when you have Trey Mann behind. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, it makes no sense. And you know, I don't know. I don't like evaluating like a player off of one game because obviously like this was one of the worst games for Jalen Green. He's coming off injury. But you know, one of the differences from the night in Houston to the night in OKC was they basically traded out Eric Gordon for Jalen Green. And Jalen Green was so bad in that game against OKC. I don't know like what your thoughts are on him.
Yeah, first of all, I realized just now that Eric Gordon didn't play the game. I was not focused. But now that I think about it, it's true. He did not play. And now I can really picture in my head why some of the stuff were not working. But anyway, no, I think that, I mean, the fear that we had in the draft about Jalen Green are where can he play in a system? Can he be a little bit more unselfish? Can he be effective when he doesn't have the ball in his hands? And clearly when the shot is going on, like the first game against Houston, he can be a dangerous player. He can be a guy that hits up and makes like five threes in a game in a span of 20 minutes. He's that guy. He's talented. He's physical. He can do a lot of stuff. But I mean, on defense, he was horrible. Like, he was just like, what are we doing? Like, it's not even trying. It's like, okay, I'm here. Like, anyone could go against him and score. And like, I know that, like, it's January, February. It's the moment in the league where you don't really.
It's the doldrums, man. Yeah.
This is it's the time of the year where you just want to get to the All-Star break and be done with the first part of the season. And then looking at the last part of the season, like, okay, now it's go time. We have a month and a half and then we'll be either Cabo or playoffs. Mm-hmm. But come on, you're in the second year of your career.
Yeah.
Like against a guy that is clearly on a tear. Like, at least try something. I mean, if you look at Shea, who is an all-star, like destroying you, just try.
Try to get in the mix there. Yeah, try to get in the mix with him and like say like, okay, like let's go. Like, let's just make it about you and me.
Yeah, at least. Like, I would not support this as a coach, but try to compete on both ends. Thank God I'm not a coach. But try at least to compete on both ends for 10 minutes. Like, try 10 minutes. See what happens.
Yeah, he was awful. Nothing. He was awful.
Yeah, flat line. But anyway.
Also, Jabari Smith Jr. Like, oh my gosh.
He's so lost.
He's lost. He is so far from contributing. And this is a guy that you look at the profile of his game as a shooter, defender, those things. Like, you think, okay, he's like, has a pretty scalable game. And, dude, he was so bad. So bad against the Thunder. Even in the game that they won, he was almost just like a non-factor, you know, in that game. Where it was, I mean, Şengün had, you know, played really well against the Thunder on Wednesday. But, like, Jabari was just kind of this, like, footnote, you know. And then in this game, the Thunder were like attacking him. They were targeting him and like getting into his chest and pushing him out of the way. I mean, Shea wanted Jabari. They switched. So it was Jabari on Shea. And Shea absolutely cooked him. Now, he's a rookie. This doesn't mean like his career is sunk. Like, this is not good. But you can see the differences between the two franchises. One, in the guys they select, and then two, in the way that they develop.
Can we give them a pass?
No!
I mean, no! Every team. No. Let me try.
No! Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, suppose that... Oh my God, this P was too loud. Suppose that OKC is picking third.
Yeah.
Like, are you not picking Jabari Smith? I mean, of course.
Let's take a look.
No, don't take a look. Don't try to make a very sophisticated argument to say that, no, maybe I would have drafted Keegan Murray because it's better or whatever. No, that's false.
Okay, so let's just go through our boxes that we check with players. Like,
you still have them? Yeah, I know that we didn't have the a lot of boxes checked with Jabari. I'm saying you are there. Are you picking someone else? The answer is no.
I don't think the answer is no. I don't think the answer is no. I don't think it is.
No, I think it is.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I think that there is a world in which if Jabari goes to OKC, he may not be the third best player in this class.
Yeah.
But he might be a much better version of this player.
Oh, are you kidding me? Because he'd be a lot better. He'd be a ton better with the Thunder today.
He might be a guy where you say, okay, now you may have to rethink some of the players that are in your team, but you can have a version of Jabari where you say, okay, we'll give you great shots all the time. And you'll just have to nail them from the corner, from the spots that you like in the moments. We will feed you 10 threes per game.
Yeah.
We will feed you great shots. You just have to hustle defensively and to just be
Mike good enough. Just be Mike Muscala.
Yes.
But he has to make his shots though. Like, that's been the thing about him.
The shot quality that they're giving him is terrible. And he's rushing into shots because he doesn't have them.
Yeah.
It's a complete different feeling. It's a complete different atmosphere. At Auburn, he was the guy and everyone was fitting him like crazy because he was the only guy who can hit a shot. And he was doing it. Now it's basically, okay, you don't take mid-rangers. No, you don't take mid-rangers. You don't take them. You just take threes, which for a guy like Jabari, who we scouted a lot, and he was, hey, let's get into my pull up Jay, and then I will get far and kill them from here. And it's not like that.
Right.
Houston doesn't allow him to get into his rhythm with his jumper. It's just, hey, spot up threes. If you don't hit them, well, we'll not see the ball for 20 minutes. It's not what happens on teams that can organically make his talent like be in a good place.
Yeah.
It's different. So my point is, Andrew, do you want the name of a player that you can get to push just half a button? Just get Jabari and you'll see that in 3 years he's a real player for OKC. Okay, enough.
Yeah, his shot.
He always wants names. He's in name that OKC can get in 2 years or a year and a half.
Yeah. No, he's not interesting. He's not interesting at all. He doesn't check the first box. You know, it's like going into a club. Like, what's the first box you have to check? Like, you gotta be 21, right? The first box you have to check to become a Thunder player, that is like a real part of the core. Like, can you make a decision? They look at his NBA ID card. Sorry, man, not a decision maker. Get out. Go. Leave. You don't belong here.
In my clubs, there are rules like the 21 year. Oh, first of all, in Italy, is 18. So, Jabari, you are more than welcome to come clubs in Italy because it's 18. So, first of all. Second, in your club, Lu Dort will not be able to enter because Lu Dort is not a great decision maker. He brings other stuff. And I think that a guy like Jabari can bring other stuff to the table. You just have to allow. He's clearly struggling right now. Clearly struggling. Mentally, physically, with the shot, with everything. But he's not a guy that will not shoot the basketball. I mean, we have too big of a sample size to say that the shot is not real. It is real.
Yeah.
So I'm sad. I'm truly sad for Jabari. I mean, I don't care about Jalen Green. I didn't like him as a prospect. I don't care about Shingun at all. I mean, I'm so miffed for Trey Murphy, but that's another story. For Jabari, I think that there is such a loss of talent.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And that's what's going to happen in Houston as long as they're on this current track. And they seem to think that we'll just add veterans in the offseason and like everything will just kind of come together. I'm not so sure about that. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the Thunder's upcoming schedule and the fun things that are going to happen potentially with OKC in the next few days. We'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And we're back after that quick break. One thing, little housekeeping, is that Usman Jang was sent down to the G League. This was from Mark, said that this was pre-planned, so it's not like, oh, he's played so terribly since he's been with the Thunder. We got to send him back there. This is something that they were going to do anyways, from what they've said. Mm-hmm. So I also just wonder if he was like crushing it. If they would send him down there, maybe they would. I don't know. But he is going to the G League. He'll get more time there. Best of luck to Usman Jang with his stint with the Blue. The Thunder have a very interesting little road trip here that starts tonight in San Francisco. They play the Warriors without Steph Curry, which is very interesting. They're going to be without him for a little while. And when you look at the standings, it's like, huh. Like, the Thunder could easily be past the Warriors in the standings in the next week.
Easily. Come on, Andrew.
Easily. Them without Steph has just been really bad. It's been very bad. That's why they're in the position they are now. It's because they missed him for a big chunk of the season. So if they can take care of business tonight... They have the Lakers Tuesday.
Come on, it's not taking care of business. It's actually playing a good game. They need to play a very good game in order to beat Golden State. Not take care of business. Like, come on.
Without Steph, man, I don't know.
Still.
How many instances?
It's Clay.
It's sure, it's Clay. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have nightmares, so.
Yeah. They play the Lakers on Tuesday. Which should be pretty interesting, considering the stakes, the historical stakes here, and how expensive these tickets are to this Lakers game. LeBron, if you're unaware, LeBron has a chance to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as with the most points in the history of the NBA. So that is very interesting. It'd be cool if the Thunder were part of it. The Thunder are on national TV. Tuesday night on TNT, which is great. Has nothing to do with the Thunder, has everything to do with LeBron. So I'm sorry to everybody who thought that it was about the Thunder. This is about LeBron, and the Thunder are the beneficiaries of that. So that's good. And then they play on Friday against Portland. And Portland is a mediocre to bad team this year. But also, we have nightmares of Dame. So
yeah. It's a three-game stretch where you kind of expect them to play good basketball, but it's the first two games are on a back-to-back late. You have to change time zone and get to LA and play late. Yeah. LA is San Francisco. Then you have a bit of a break, and then you play again late in Portland. I expect a 1-2 record for these three games, which is a vanilla take, I know. But I, for different reasons, I think that these teams have a lot to play for. Every team that OKC face, and it's on the road. OKC has been quite bad on the road. And so it's, I don't know, maybe against Golden State is... does it make sense to say that if they win against Golden State, I have very good feelings? If they lose against Golden State, it might be an 0-3 kind of road trip. I think it's a lot of... It's a catalyst of what they can do. If they can really play well against Golden State, I think that can carry over, and then they can be super excited and important. If they start off on the wrong foot, winning against the LA the next day, it's extremely hard.
Yeah. The second half of a back-to-back is just tough. You don't know how this young team is going to respond in that environment, because it's going to be... Like, you think there's A-list celebrities at a random Lakers game. Like, get ready for the type of celebrities that are going to be sitting courtside.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know how these guys react to that. Maybe they are totally cool with it. Or maybe Josh Giddey's, you know, celebrity crush is sitting on, you know, the front row. I don't know. I have no idea. I am curious to see how they respond. They may just like step up and like, hey, we know we're on the national stage and we know we laid an egg the first time on the national stage against the Heat with that free throw debacle of a game. Like, let's not do that again, guys. Like, let's go take it to these guys and win. I'm curious to see how they respond. I'm not sure that tonight will determine how they play the rest of the road trip, though.
Okay,
I think they win tonight,
and then nice.
And then I don't know how they play in LA, and then Portland. I don't know. The Thunder in Portland is always a wild card, you know.
Yeah, they are 2-0 against them. It's weird.
Yeah, but they are. It's early on that they played them, and beat them. So I'm curious to see if they could do it again.
Do you have any updates on Lu Dort?
The only update we got was that they're very non-committal about him playing. They haven't ruled him out of playing on the road trip. They also haven't ruled him in playing on the road trip. So,
and there is no Usman. So that's
no Jang. Which
development minutes?
Less variance, I would say.
Yeah,
more Kenrich. Is what it means.
Or Wiggins.
Or Wiggins. Either one. Very good. We'll take either one. Very good.
Yeah.
Because they've both been very impactful. We talked about the on-offs. Aaron Wiggins is a +3 on the season. Kenrich is a +4. So yeah, either one. Bring them on.
Yep.
Yeah, they've both been very, very good lately. And it's likely that they both play in this game. And no Jang. And probably... less minutes for a guy like Trey Mann. And if that happens, then I think it's a recipe for winning basketball games.
Yeah. Last thing before we go, I know that it's very interesting, this stretch of five games before the All-Star break. But the season of OKC, I think, will be decided the first 8 games against the All-Star break, where they have a lot of winnable games at home. Like, they have twice Sacramento, twice Utah. They have Golden State in LA, which, depending on who is playing, and then you have Phoenix. So it's a stretch where OKC can get a lot of, can make a lot of ground. And if they are, like, they can, that part is where, if you really want to make the playoffs, not the play-in, you have to address the next, again, those games as, we have to win them all. We have to go 10-0 and show. Because they face teams that they can beat. They don't face a team like Milwaukee or Boston. Phoenix may be better. And after All-Star break, everything can be different. LA can be better. But there is possibility to make a good run there. We'll see.
Okay. predictions for the trade deadline. What do you think?
I think that maybe OKC shuffles around a contract or two, just to get. I don't think that Bazley will be dealt.
Wow. Okay. So what are the contracts or twos that are going to be moved? Like, who's it going to be?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, right? They have to cut one guy. I thought that for some reason that they had cap space, but it's not the case. I don't know.
Give a prediction.
I don't know. I don't have predictions.
Is Darius Bazley on the team on Friday?
Yes.
Okay.
Can he do something else? I don't know what they can do.
Yeah, they can they can do other things. They're welcome to do whatever they want. I don't think they're going to do much. But
you know what, like, does it really make sense to Bazley?
Why to trade him?
Yeah.
It's inconsequential either way.
Let's put it this way. If you can guarantee me a protected first for a bad contract that comes in and stays there for two years and you have to let go, basically, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
If it's a bad second rounder, who cares? Basically has moments. He can be useful on a night. He can be extremely an unfactor in the next one.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a cancer in the locker room.
No, they like him. He plays hard. They like him. He was the one who organized the little text group. I asked Mike about this too. Like, they all got a text from Darius to go over to Shea's house. It was organized by his family. He's like a team organizer. Like, they do like him. Like, as much as maybe some of the Thunder observers, including myself, don't care for the stylings of Darius Bazley, like, the team really does seem to like him.
Yeah.
So
do you think OKC will move a young player? Like, I don't know, just to find them a better place. Like, do you feel like someone wants to find another team to play for?
No, not on this roster, no. But I do think also that something to be prepared for would be if somebody comes with an offer for even a guy like Isaiah Joe, and somebody's like, hey, we'll give you a lottery-protected first for Isaiah Joe, which I don't think will happen. I think that's like...
No.
But if somebody does, you better bet your bottom dollar they're going to do it. Like, those kind of things are going to happen. Like,
I don't think it makes too much sense. But yeah,
I think the Thunder are, especially if you can like remove the protections over time and like there is like some value to that pick or something like that, they would do it. I don't think the Thunder are out of pick acquisition mode yet. I know people want them to be. I know people want them to go get guys, but I think that they are still closer to asset acquisition than they are to players of consequence added to this team. I think that's where they are.
Yeah.
I like Isaiah Joe. Sure. I do like him. I don't want him to be traded. I'm just trying to think of like a player that teams would go after.
I would do that for, I mean, I would probably deal Wiggins in the same way that you do Joe.
Yeah.
I think
anybody that's not Shea, Giddy,
yeah,
J-Dub, Dort, I think all those guys can be had. Like, all of them can be had.
I think also Dort can be had if you really want him.
I don't know.
On brand. It's me on brand. Come on.
It is you on brand. That's Shea's best friend, man. I don't know.
So you don't care about basically organizing parties for Shea, not Lou. Basically, no, I think, organizing,
yeah,
or Shy, how should we call him? But anyway, but you do care that Lou Dort is a friend with Shay. I mean,
yes,
my friend, you have to decide which side you want to discuss, either the basketball fit or the like the other part.
Anyway, I like to pick and choose my spots if I can, please.
Anyway, I mean, I think that the guy like Wiggins is very useful. Yeah. But if a team is enamored with him and he's willing to offer, then yeah, I think that Joe, we don't have an exact replica of him on the team. Whereas with Wiggins, yes, you have Kenrich. I would not switch in the opposite direction, like trading Kenrich because you have Wiggins, because mm-hmm. I think that he brings very different skills.
They're not going to trade Kenrich, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, of course, if you say to me today, would you prefer to let go Basley, Wiggins, or Joe for the same asset? Of course, it's Basley. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if better assets can be had for. I don't want to say them. I don't want to call them fringe guys, but it's likely what they are. They are not stars.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely what they are.
They are a rotational piece. If you really feel that the asset you are getting is worthy, then yeah.
But and I also think
can
that
be great.
I just also don't think that any other teams are like thinking about these Thunder guys like we do. And so I just don't think
Wiggins is almost 50-40 something from the line that I know
he's very good. I just don't know that anybody's gonna say we take him for a first rounder. Like, I just don't think that's gonna happen.
No, I don't think so.
So like, that's what I think it would take to pry a guy like that away. Like, you can't be like, hey, we'll give you a second rounder for Aaron Wiggins. You'd be like, hey, yeah, you know, no
get,
way
get out.
Yeah, so I just don't, this is why I think the Thunder are more likely to just stand pat and be who they are and make the decisions in the summer than they are to be a player in any way whatsoever at the trade deadline. So we'll see. I'd like to be wrong just for the content, you know, but we'll see. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and we will talk to you guys again on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.